The Nationals are going to the World Series, and Gerrit Cole and the Astros blank the Yanks in Game 3. Let's do it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Talking Baseball. My name is John Boy. I'm coming to you from New Jersey. I am wearing a hooded sweatshirt, and I have my co-host and best friend on the other side of the computer, on the other microphone. His name's Jake, and he is wearing no clothes above the waist. Jake, how you doing?
You're not sure about below the waist either.
Not sure. I think I saw a blanket there, your polio blanket you carry with you.
My Teddy Roosevelt blanket. Jim, I'm doing all right, man. As listeners of the show know, we are Yankee fans, and we've had our shirts taken off our back the past 2 days by Verlander and Cole. I'm doing all right, though. Happy for the Nats. They were clearly the better team. I think hindsight being 2020, it was them or the Dodgers. Both those teams seem pretty superior to Atlanta and St. Louis in hindsight. And I don't know. I think the only other thing I have to say is I do have a massive pimple on my forehead that you noted. I attacked the hell out of it during the sixth and seventh innings of the Yankee game yesterday, half out of frustration, half out of that something I enjoy. And if you are new to the show, the shirt off thing isn't a shtick. It's not the Brett Kreischer stand-up thing. This is how I normally live my life. Podcasts are well-liked because it's people actually being themselves. So this is me today. I'm here, man. How are you doing?
I'm still sick. Still feel like shit. But whatever. Getting a phone call. Is it Wednesday? Wednesday at 11. That's my weekly business call. Damn.
Classic.
Still feeling pretty sick. I'm excited that the Yankees probably get a rain out tonight and I can like recover. But I feel like I've spent 3 days just kind of like whenever I'm not working, just recovering. And it's a weird sick. It's like a nagging sick. It's like my body feels damp and cold.
Do you think there's even a 1% chance that due to like what this has become as a company and it all started as tying to the Yankees, that part of your sickness is tied to two Yankees losses?
No, because I started getting sick before that.
Okay.
Remember, I got sick. I think I got sick before that. It tied to an airport trip and lack of sleep because we're due talking Yanks every night and talking baseball every morning.
Okay. I've got it at 1%.
1%? Okay, that's fine. I have to send a text now and say, hey, sorry.
Hey, sorry.
We're recording later than usual. Call you after for my weekly Wednesday business meet call. Fun times. You know what's not fun, Jake? Advancing to the NLCS because you score a ton of runs in the first inning and then getting eliminated from the NLCS because you allow a ton of runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
What a bunch of jabronis.
That's Atlanta was probably dancing on graves a little bit. Probably the second worst feeling to a 10-run first inning elimination game is a team going for a sweep and putting up a 7-burger in the first.
There's some poetic like justice to it to where they're like, damn, yeah, this is how it feels.
Yeah. Oh.
Not as fun when the Rabbits got the gun.
Oh, my God.
You ever seen a rabbit with a gun?
No, man.
I saw one. Suicidal. He freaked
out. Sad I said, rabbit.
I said, do it. You're just a rabbit. No one cares.
Ooh, tough break for all our rabbit fans.
Well, then my neighbor was like, I love this rabbit. It's my personal rabbit. And I was like, what have you done to it to make it so suicidal? So it was a weird day in eighth grade.
Do you want to go? Are we not a chrono pod anymore? Do you want to
do
we're Nats
still
cards?
A chronic pod. But first, we have to say big thank you to Austin Bissell.
Austin Bissell.
Dan Fiorentine.
Fiorentini, huh?
Michela Fennelli. There's no Fennelli. It's Michael Fennell. Michela Fennell.
Michela Fennell.
I don't know how you spell that. It's Michael with an A at the end. You know, I know how you spell it. I don't know how you pronounce it. Christopher right. Miklitz.
Miklitz, my guy.
Miklitz. Tanner Jacobs. It sounds like Jacobs. A guy from the South.
It's a thrower. It's either you're either quarterback or a pitcher.
And Beauville.
Beauville.
That's cool. Those are our most recent Patreons. We appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. Patreon.com/JohnBoyMedia, I think. Yeah. I nailed it. You want to burn these games, Jake?
I got burns.
All right. Yankees Astros, since we're a
Cronpod, Yankees Astros.
Here we go. This burn is brought to you by. And. On your mark. Get set. Burn.
Have you ever seen a Sevy with the butterfly doze? Hey, Sevy with the butterfly doze. Hey, pitching is a habit. As Luis and the Pinstripes try to defend home field against Cole World. Garrett and the Astros top one. Hang them and bang them. Play the music, Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve. Solo shot for the little fella. Sevy loads him up, but he gets out of it. It's 1-0 after one. Top two, retweet, hang him and bang him. Josh goes ridiculous with a solo shot of his own. 2-0 Strohs. Yanks will get a lot of action on the bases, but like your drunk friend at the bar, they could not score off Cole. Seventh inning daggers as Strohs score on a wild pitch and a sack fly. Baby Glaby smacks a solo shot, but the Yanks were child's play on offense. Houston 4, Yankees 1. Astros take a 2-1 series lead.
It's a weird game. It's a good game for the Astros. This is the first game of the series they controlled start to finish. A lot of runners left on base for the Yankees. Whenever they got a runner on base, it seemed like there was two outs already. It was maybe Cole's worst performance, which is 7 innings pitch, 0 earned runs.
Yeah.
And that's how you sum up Garrett Cole this season. Yeah, yeah. Garrett Cole didn't have his stuff. Most amount of base runners he ever had, 5 walks. Oh, damn. So the Yankees got to him? No, 7 innings, 0 earned runs.
Yeah, there's you can end up walking all over yourself with some of the Cole stuff because, yeah, I got into the numbers. It was the second most amount of base runners Garrett Cole had let on base in a game this season, yet the Yankees go scoreless. There were 5 walks, which his season high was 3. And I don't think it was too many controversial calls. I think there was a couple good at-bats, and he was pitching around a couple guys, which you and I stumbled into is kind of a big topic in Yankee land is that Judge and Glaber, there's 3 Yankees hitters right now that if you're an Astros fan, you have your stomach sink. It's LeMahieu, Judge, and Glaber. And they have did their thing yesterday, but a lot of other guys are in a bad spot right now.
Yeah, the Yankees they were trying to spread out the lefties. So they had Gardner 3-hole behind Judge and then Didi 6-hole behind Glaber. And then the Astros were totally – Cole – was totally fine pitching around Glaber to get the DD. Did it twice, just nibbled, stayed away. And then with Judge, Cole kind of did the same thing. Like Judge said, I only got one pitch in the zone if you go look at my at-bats. And I got anxious, and I wanted a hit, so I was chasing. And, I mean, it's on Judge for chasing, but it's also kind of the lineup also, construction. And this is
also some good pitches from Cole, too.
Yeah, I'm not trying to downplay Cole at all. I'm trying to say – from a Yankees fan perspective, the lineup construction, I didn't say it before the game, so it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but it was in the end, it allowed Cole to navigate the Yankees lineup much easier.
Yeah, and it's funny. I can't believe I didn't say this on Talking Yanks, but outside of LeMahieu, Judge, and Torres, the 3 guys I talked about that you'd be worried about if you're Houston, the Yankees only had 1 hit. It was Edwin's double. So outside of those 3 guys, there was only 1 hit. And there's a couple walks. Aaron Hicks actually had some good at-bats. He had a nice walk, fouled off some pitches. But, yeah, I mean, Cole shoved. The Astros bullpen came in. Joe Smith, who tortured the Yankees the night before, Glaber gets him, which I think there is some importance to the Yankees getting on the scoreboard because they were at one point, I think, 16 innings scoreless, something like that, 14. Harris and Ozuna looked good. And, yeah, the other thing you and I stumbled into is, you know, the Astros won this game. They played better, and, like, the Yankees beat themselves. Game two, it felt like kind of an even game. Each team was looking for the blow. The Astros dominated this game, hitting, pitching, fielding. Like, any way you chop it up, the Astros beat the Yankees.
Yeah, and then the Yankees beat themselves a little as well.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. Tyler Lyons was getting loose in the first inning for the Yankees.
Severino just straight up hung a breaking ball in the zone to Altuve as the first pitch, which Altuve always swings at the first pitch. Three of the Astros' home runs have come. They have three home runs in this series. Well, they have four or five home runs in this series. Three of them in three games have come on first pitch, get me over off speed. So the Yankees should probably scrap that from the arsenal.
Ain't working.
And the Astros are really good at laying off Severino's slider if it was low and attacking if it was high. So good in the first inning, Brantley's at bat made me think maybe Sevy's got a tell, and they picked up on it. And then, I mean, I have the ability to, like, edit and do side-by-sides and overlays and all that shit, and I don't think there was anything there. I think they were just very, very disciplined that if it was at the knees, take it. If it was higher, swing. So,
yeah, it's funny. I think the devil's advocate came in me a lot, a little bit, just because, I don't know, when all the voices go one way, usually the answer is somewhere in the middle, is not as far, and everyone was like, okay, Houston's got his tell. Sevy's pitching his tip pitches. And it was kind of like, well, they're also really good hitters, and Sevy doesn't look like he has his good stuff at all.
Yeah, but did that Brantley at-bat was weird. I mean, the 3-2 slider, Brantley didn't even think about moving his feet to protect. Like, that was the one where I was like, wait, that was weird. Yeah, it was a decent pitch. It was right at the knees.
I think Michael Brantley's a really good hitter. A, he's a guy that can wait till the end of a pitch if he wants to. But B, I don't know. I think they're almost like, okay, postseason, there's going to be more off speed. If a pitch starts at your knees, it's most likely going to finish below it. And I think a lot of them were right in that approach. Like you were saying, kind of they almost had the knuckleball approach. If it was low, let it go. If it's high, let it fly.
Yeah. When I say that maybe Sevy was tipping, I'm not taking anything away from the Astros hitters. And I don't think he was in the end. But at that one Brantley at bat with the 3-2, I thought Sevy threw like a really nice slider that during the regular season and during average hitters, they protect or chase or at least check swing or, you know, something. He just was bad on the shoulder from the get-go. So that was where interesting, but I don't think it was anything like that.
No.
Yankees offense is the problem. And, I mean, the Yankees offense faced the two best pitchers in the American League all season. And the Astros have the two best pitchers in the American League and the Yankees don't. So that's kind of where it adds up.
Yeah, this almost might sound like sour grapes, but this game could have been a lot uglier, and there's part of me that almost wishes it was, because in Yankee land, a lot of the attention is on Severino in the bullpen, and it's like, yo, the lineup's got diced up.
Yeah.
And I think true Yankee fans and people are starting to notice that, but also it was Verlander and Cole, and that's your solace as Yankees fans. You know, you were so close to going up 2-0 in this series. Now you're down 1-2. But they got you with Cole and Verlander. And my going away line has been, you know, the Yankees, you have to get Greinke in the bullpen day if that ends up happening. And then if you can't beat Cole and Verlander one out of four times, if you end up bringing this to seven or however this series plays out, then you don't deserve it. So that'll be interesting. And good on Houston. I think we're going to see, and maybe I should be saving this, but I still think this is a seven gamer. I don't know who wins it. I think we're going to see every game is a storyline, but I think the storylines are going to change so much. Who knows if Giancarlo Stanton comes back? Is he going to get aisled and replaced with someone? Is it someone like Mike Tauchman who got thrown out the other day? I think this series is going to have a lot of tossing and turning still. And I wouldn't be shocked if after game one, the pressure was on the Astros. After game three, the pressure is on the Yankees. I wouldn't be shocked if after game five, the pressure is back on the Astros. But we'll see.
Yeah, game three is a must-win for the Yankees. Or game four is a must-win for the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees, if they lose a Greinke or a bullpen start, that's it for them. And that's why I was surprisingly upbeat after the loss, because that was kind of, as a Yankee fan, that was my honest solace. Like, yeah, they got us with Verlander and Cole. The game two loss ends up sucking. This loss, I don't know, 4 p.m., Gerrit Cole, like, we kind of put together an okay effort, but at the same time, we didn't. It's almost like, wash the hands, let's get the bats hot versus Greinke in a bullpen day, and hopefully, you got to take down Cole and Verlander at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Or not. or Houston wins it.
Yeah, those are the options, I think. But it's a must win. We'll get to that later. Let's talk about the clincher. Game four.
Yeah, only other thing that I think from a Houston side I kind of missed out on. Starting Reddick was an interesting decision. We didn't think they'd start Reddick, and he comes out his first at-bat and hits a home run. And that's almost, not only is that a boost home run-wise, but it's almost like A.J. Hinch pressed the right button.
Yeah. And he hit a fucking hanging slider bomb. So, good for Reddick.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring you the burn of Nationals Cardinals. On your mark, get set, burn Jakey Burn.
Game four is the Nats and Patrick Mahomes Corbin try to chief their way to a sweep versus Daniel Hudson River as the card season is looking like a floating dead body. Rendon sack fly, Soto RBI double, Robles RBI single, Yan Gomes 2 RBI single, Trey Turner 2 RBI single. This was all in the first inning. Hudson only records one out. Nats put up a 7-burger in the first. Hey, Atlanta, how are ya? Yachty's got fight, solo shot. Edmund RBI, grounded, I do not care. Jose Martinez, one of the more fun at-bats you'll watch when he's at the dish. Limbs everywhere, he's swinging the bat. 2 RBI double. Card scared him for a bit, but actually not. All Hogwarts shit as the Nats take out the brooms and sweep the NLCS after a 7-4 final.
Cardinals wasted everyone's time.
Ooh.
I mean, come on. Nats are good. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Nats.
Yeah.
There was never a moment of fight in these games.
Yeah. They got like embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Cardinals fans would say that too.
Listen to how this game started.
Yeah.
Top of the first, Corbin, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Bottom of the first, single, double, sack fly, double, intentional walk. Fielder's choice, single, single. And I mean, one of those singles is just a lazy pop-up that didn't get caught. They moved Jose Martinez. They started him, Jake. They moved him to the two hole. And when we were saying, like, start him, someone somewhere, I don't know, comment section on YouTube or in the live chat, was like, you start Jose Martinez, you don't have a right fielder. And I was like, how bad is he? And then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of got hung up in no man's land there, and that cost him a lot of runs in a 7-inning first. They didn't score another run the rest of the game, the Nationals. They were like, we got 7, we're good, we're celebrating. And I heard they were going into the clubhouse taking shots in between every at-bat after they got 7.
Every at-bat, the whole team.
Yeah, the pitchers are like, it's on you. We're fucking hammered.
Yeah, that is really tough, especially the Cardinals. They showed a little bit of fight. They got runners on base. They scored 4 runs. Hudson, 7 runs, only 4 are earned. It's tough looking at the box score in hindsight because Wainwright, Helsley, Gallegos, Miller, they go shutout technically.
Yeah.
Even though Wainwright did give up 2 of those hits at the end of Hudson's day. But, it's tough, and especially, you know, obviously you couldn't live like this if you're the Cardinals, but when I saw Wainwright come out, just knowing he was available compared to Daniel Hudson, I was like, yo.
Yeah. But, I mean, Hudson. You have to win another one after this one. Like, you have to win 4
exactly.
in a row, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that was – I think that was just as much as a mind fuck, just – seeing the better pitcher, the old reliable starter, come in after Daniel Hudson didn't have it, like that almost felt like a knife twist in and of itself. Cardinals outclassed, outmatched, whatever you want to call it. The Nats have a little bit of magic and juju going. Baby Shark City. Howie Kendrick wins the NLCS MVP. It's the talk of the office. And it's just like, I don't know. They got a little magic, and they were the better team.
Who do you think had the most at-bats without recording a hit in this series?
This feels a little unfair because I have the box score in front of me, but is it Tommy Edman?
Yeah. He went 0 for 14.
Yeah, and I know you and I are losing Cardinals fans by the minute, but I don't know. When we had initially talked about this series, you know, you and I harped on Goldschmidt and Ozuna and even Yachty. Like, those righties, I think, are the threats. And someone, a Cardinals fan, DM'd me and was like, hey, man, you got to give Tommy Edman some love. Like, he's had a really nice year. He switched. This is kind of why. I don't want to be rude. I think Tommy Edman's a good young player, but the playoffs are a different animal, and you got to prove it. And, I mean, he got 8 up this series.
Veterans do better, and I think I'll take that. I think experience matters so much in the postseason.
And I think that's something that's kind of underrated about the Nationals. The Nationals are the oldest team in baseball, aside from Juan Soto. You know, people don't know he's 20 years old. That's been getting missed out on these playoffs. But when you actually go through the roster and you look at, like, Scherzer, maybe Fernando Rodney's cooking the books a little bit, but like Adam Eaton, Rendon, Howie Kendrick, Ryan Zimmerman, Kurt Suzuki, they've got some dudes that have been around for a while, and I think that it does go overlooked a little bit because the regular season is kind of a young man's game, 162 games. It's a grind to bring that energy every day. In the NBA, the oldest teams are normally the best teams because it's experience and it's having been there. Baseball, it'll be interesting if that becomes part of the narrative, because I'm kind of with you, man. I mean, you in the playoffs, you believe in the old dog over the young pup. I mean, 9 out of 10 times.
How many players you think they have younger than 26?
Younger than 26. So
that
got Soto,
that got at bats in this series.
Oh, okay. Soto and Robles, right? And then Trey Turner would be the coin flip. I'm going to guess for this example, he's not. So I'll say 2.
2, yeah.
Look at that shit. You guys think I'm fucking dumb?
What age did I give you?
26.
Trey Turner's 26 in 108 days.
Okay, so yeah, he's not younger than 26.
Rendon's 29. Everyone else is like 30.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me root for him.
Ooh, you're liking the old men.
Yeah. If they were a bunch of 20-year-olds, I'd root for that, too. Just kind of fun to latch on to one or the other.
Yeah, that is true. And I'm trying to think pitching-wise. I'm going to click on Tanner Rainey because he's starting to earn some trust. He has another hitless inning. He's 26, but, I mean, if you think of Doolittle.
Whoa. The Cardinals. How did Tanner Rainey earn your trust? Pitching slop innings against the Cardinals in an elimination game when they were dead?
His last couple appearances have been okay. And, I mean, Jim, think about it this way, too. I mean, A, You know, I think he had one bad appearance. Let's see. So versus the Dodgers, his first appearance, his first playoff game ever is against the Dodgers. He goes .1. He gives up one hit, a walk, two earned runs. Since then, he's been 1, 2, 3, 4 clean appearances, 3.2 innings, and he hasn't given up a hit or a walk. And two of those are against the Dodgers. Two of those are against St. Louis, where, hey, if you're going to point at St. Louis and say they weren't hitting at all, that's fine. But we know this as fans. When Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, whoever comes out of the game, as a St. Louis fan, you're going, thank fucking God. And they still didn't get him. So Tanner Rainey's earned a little bit of his keep.
Okay. I take it back a little bit. I mean, his second appearance versus Dodgers, it was all deep, hard contact. So I still didn't have it after that. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, he's not coming in close games, though. Down 2, down 4, down 2, ahead 7, ahead 3 in this elimination game. So
yeah. He's only got one hold, technically, if you like to measure things that way. But basically what I was trying to say, I mean, you know, Scherzer, Strasburg, Anibal Sanchez, Corbin, I mean, none of those guys are young pups either. I mean, and Doolittle, Hudson, like Tanner Rainey is the only almost semi-outlier. So, yeah, these are – do we have to do some old Nats thing? Like, what's – you're my history guy. Is there anything we could do with the Nationals and history and the nation's capital or some shit like that?
You can put them in funny outfits and wigs and give them dumb accents.
Okay. I'll work on it.
Do it.
Seems daunting.
Let's get historical. Breaking news. Madden is the Angels manager. ALCS game 4 has been postponed.
Hello, operator.
Interesting. So, all right, we'll do a...
it's cool we found that out before what we're about to do.
Yeah, we were about to have like a conversation of if it gets postponed or if it doesn't. Yeah. So now that we know, that's pretty cool. Let's
do we have any goodbyes to the Cardinals before we move on?
Was it worth it?
Oh, jeez.
Do you think that's a fair question?
I like what you're saying, because I get where it goes next. It's like, would you guys have rather lost in Game 5 and come into next year and be like, we were right at Game 5. If we got into the NLCS, we could have taken them down. Instead, it's like, oh, we got our shit pushed in. I'm cursing a lot today. Shirtless Jake curses. Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, yes, you obviously want to go to the NLCS, but it's that's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, it's fair, right?
It's kind of fair. I mean, what do you know? I'm sure we're gonna do off-season deep dives further than you're even thinking right now on a lot of the teams out there. But if you're the Cardinals, like, what's the game plan?
Oh, we'll save that for the off-season. Maybe in the off-season we'll try to run through like a lot of teams and be like, what?
Yeah,
the
I was
game
just thinking
plan?
Like shot out of a cannon. Like, do you look at their starting pitching? Is it bullpen? Is it like an impact lefty bat? Like, is there anything that just jumps out to you that like the Cardinals need this?
Well, pitching, but I don't say that with much authority. Like, I'd have to actually look into it. Like, who? Like, Waino was good.
Flaherty's good. He's going to get a year older.
Yeah, Flaherty was a beast.
Flaherty a year older, but that's a good thing for him.
Yeah, it's a good thing. No, this was a great season for Jack Flaherty.
For me, it feels like a lefty impact bat. Like, Matt Carpenter kind of fell off this year. If you could split up Goldschmidt and Ozuna, and I'm sure Tommy Edman's going to develop a little bit. You like DeYoung. Give me an impact lefty bat. But, yeah, Cardinals, just a horrible series.
I mean, like, dude, like, Michaelis had some good outings, but Hudson, Michaelis.
Right.
You need better
coming pitching. Into a playoff game. If you're the opposing team, you see Hudson. Maybe Hudson's young and can get better, but you see Hudson and Michaelis, you're kind of like, yo, if we're right, we can tee off these guys.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of fear factor. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Harrison Bader's fast.
Right. Like, he plays incredible defense. Can he learn how to hit a little more?
Yeah. I mean, he'd have to really step up his hitting game because he played 128 games, Jake.
400 from Bronxville, New York.
He had 400 plate appearances with like no offense. 680 OPS, 314 on base percentage. Great defensively. I mean, they have some spots where it's like you can just go down your checklist of preparing for the game and be like, don't worry about that guy. Don't worry about that guy. Don't worry about that guy. Okay, focus on these four.
Right.
So, there you go.
Goodbye, St. Louis.
All right, I hope you're the best. I don't hate you. Boom. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about this new game four for the Yankees and the Astros. All right, so we officially have a rainout, which there's good and bad for both teams that comes from this, I believe. I don't know who it helps out more. I know the Yankees side of things better than the Astros, so I'll start with my thoughts there. For the Yankees, this helps them. It gives them Tanaka in Game 4, which allows them to have Tanaka in Game 7. That was not a possibility for them. If the game was played tonight, they would have had to gone bullpen game today, Sevy Game 7 with Tanaka in Game 5. So that's a perk. The other perk is they use the bullpen a lot, the Yankees do, and they were going to have to use them 3 days in a row. This gives them a separation here of a day of rest, but they may have to have they're going to have 4 games in a row, and that hurts the bullpen usage down the line with no travel day. That's the Yankees side of things. I think it's more good than bad, but we'll see.
I want to jump back to where you landed a little bit. If you don't know, after the rainout, the plan would be if this goes 7, it would be 4 straight games on 4 straight days, right?
Yeah.
So it will be 2 more in the Bronx, 2 more in Houston. If this series goes 7, we'll see if the Yankees or Houston somehow turn it on. It's interesting because, Jimmy, something that you and I know, the Yankees made a very conscientious effort to not use their bullpen during the season. No Yankees reliever has pitched 3 straight days in a row this season. I believe they're the only team in baseball to do that. So that becomes kind of wild for the Yankees, because if the Yankees push this series, not only would some of these guys probably have to pitch 3 days in a row, they probably have to pitch 4, which becomes really interesting. You almost wonder if the Yankees win Game 4 tomorrow and the Astros go bullpen day or something like that. You could see a world where both teams are kind of rooting for a blowout, because I don't think either of these teams want either of these teams. Both teams are elite. Neither of them want to go down using, you know, the 7th guy in their bullpen, or I don't know, like an exhausted, whether it's Ozuna or Chapman, Harris or Britton. I think that's going to be an interesting storyline. I don't know. I'll be interested. I feel like there's things we don't know right now that at the end of it, after the rainout, we're going to look back and be like, yo, that rainout was important because of this, this, and this. But right now, I don't know what those are.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. For the Astros,
Carlos Stanton get healthy?
Yeah, it does help them out with that situation. For the Astros, I mean, it helps them as well because they'd rather throw Greinke than their 4th starter earlier.
Yeah, and that I brought this to Twitter because Greinke will now get the start. I think what's interesting there is the decision in Astros land, and maybe it depends how Greinke does. They would still have to do a bullpen day. And it's, do you do that? Or you can start Justin Verlander on short rest, but it would be short rest at the stadium. And we just saw how that happened in Tampa. I think what Houston would do is you say, hey, we're going to throw Greinke in a bullpen day the first game. And then we plan on going back to Houston with a fully rested Verlander and Cole. That seems to make the most sense. But yeah, I don't know. If you're a Yankee fan, you're sitting there you've guys have heard me peacocking about Zach Greinke. Maybe he shuts me the fuck up finally. But yeah, if you're the Yankees, you're licking your chops at Greinke Day and Bullpen Day.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be, I mean, Tanaka versus the Astros. He shut them down multiple times now. He shut them down pretty bad last time. To me, I'm a little nervous at that. You know, do you believe in do? What's going to happen? Right. And then, like you said, as a Yankee fan, hopefully the offense can find themselves against Greinke in the bullpen day and take that into Verlander and Cole. Not as easy as it sounds. I don't know. I'm excited for a day of rest. Katie comes back tomorrow morning. I have to make an airport run at like 5 a.m. and now we don't have to record tonight and we're not going to have a Talking Baseball tomorrow morning. First time since October 3rd, there won't be a Talking Baseball.
You don't want me to record me just reading random baseball reference stats.
I mean, that sounds, that's always good.
Mark McElmore batted .282 in 1995.
This is our 14th episode in a row, guys. And we thought we were going to have to go until, I believe, like maybe the 23rd straight. So this is our 14th episode in a row. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. Hopefully you miss us during our break tomorrow morning. I am very happy to get one.
And Jim, you know, we don't like to, but we still have to. If you haven't left a review, leave a review. Write 14 straight days. Write Jake sucks. Write the Cardinals died in front of our eyes. Write something. Leave 5 stars. It does help us. We don't beg for that shit. I thank you.
We don't beg for that shit.
I don't beg for that shit, man.
You'll find me begging for reviews.
I'll tell you what, Boomer Man, I'll tell you what. That's an underrated character in TV show history, the guy in King of the Hill that just mumbled everything.
It's good stuff.
It's good stick.
Well, what about Farmer Fran from Waterboy?
Yeah, I mean, another great character.
Remember the time Bobby Boucher got it? Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. That's the Patreon viewers just got to see something.
All right. Thank you guys very much. We will be back on... we're not going to be back until Friday morning.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Today's Wednesday.
We're taking Thursday off. Friday morning. We'll be back on Friday morning to review the Yankees-Astros game and preview the next game. And then there's going to be four in a row as the Nationals just sit and wait.
Wish me luck going to the DMV, part three.
I had a gummy when I was watching the Nationals game, Jake.
Sure.
When they won in their final speeches, and I was just getting a kick out of a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'll tell them to you. First, TBS, just with the worst sports coverage. They can go shit in a hat and wear it. Like, what are you're not gonna show me the slow-mo celebrations? It's a staple. I think they might be the first program in, I don't know, some historical to not show the slow-mo celebrations of every player on the field. I can't think of a more iconic, like, that's what you roll. Roll the reactions. Go fuck yourself, TBS, buttheads. Martinez had, like, heart problems, you know, and he had, like, surgery and he had a heart attack and stuff, and it was pretty sad. And at one point he goes, these guys, points to all his players, these guys fixed my heart. But I was just imagining the doctors watching at their house, like, what the fuck? It was a 10-hour fucking situation. Like, doctors getting overlooked all the time.
I don't normally let my fake Cali side out, but those doctors are saying, dude, you'd be hella dead if we didn't help you.
They did nothing.
You'd be the most dead.
I thought about tweeting it out, but... I was like, people can't handle jokes. No. So, and then the other thing was, and I don't think anyone caught on to it. Howie Kendrick gave like this whole speech about how, you know, we all got this MVP. I tweeted this one out. We all get this MVP. Like, this goes to all of us. And I don't know who the reporter was. And he just goes, nice.
Nice. I saw that too. That gave me a good laugh. I think it was Brian Anderson who, by the way, he has one of the, best Twitter handles. I believe his Twitter handle is at Brian Anderson PXP because he's play by play. Pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, it cracked me up. This is all of ours. The whole team deserves this. We're a team. We're a unit. Nice.
The baby shark thing is actually kind of funnier. Because you, in your head, you almost think the whole Gerardo Parra Nationals baby shark thing. You're like, oh, you know, that's a young guy silly thing. No, that's like the ultimate of ultimate dad moves because he did it for his kid. When you think about all the old dad nats, like, oh, yeah, baby shark's going to kill it, man. You got to play that. Well, Juan Soto and the other young guys are like, dude, you guys are loser.
Dude, I love, like, they showed that video of the whole stadium doing baby shark, and so many people were like, this is cringe, this is stupid. I was like, this is hilarious.
This is dad humor. You have to look at it as dad humor.
All the dads that just know that dumb fucking song, they're coming together. All the parents, I should say, not just dads.
Yes.
They're coming together and just being like, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
How this song can drive someone crazy. Let's do it. And
it's
then
like a dad outreach group.
Dave Martinez said that he sent Parr up there because he knew the stadium would go crazy with Baby Shark.
Dude, it's one of the most underrated weapon left in the playoffs is being able to turn the whole emotion in a stadium by a pinch hit at bat. Not result, not mattering.
That's unbelievable. Like, I didn't really think of that. You know how they say, like, you know, a big dunk in basketball can get the crowd back into it and then, like, jumping? Yeah. Every team needs to find a walk-up song that transforms the stadium.
Yeah.
Who was it on the A's that had Careless Whisper and they would all play fake saxophones and, like...
Oh, I forget.
Ooh, I'm Googling it real quick. Okay. It was Reddick. It was Josh Reddick.
There you go.
They would play Careless Whisper and everyone would start doing it. You need something like that. That gets, like, it just unites the stadium immediately.
And by the way, if Reddick were to pinch hit in any Houston game, you'd hear all the woos. I think we might have an eccentric. I might do a deep dive thesis type thing on eccentric corner outfielders. Because being in Denver, I've been involved with the Rockies, popular Rockies podcast out here. And he's said a couple times that, like, Gerardo Parra not being on the team as that, like, everyday 162 energy, wearing the silly glasses, baby shark. Like, the Rockies missed that this year. His stats don't look like much. The analytics community doesn't look at Gerardo Parra and see much right now. But he's a huge part of that team.
Yeah, they say Cameron Maben was like that before the Yankees. Like, when he came to the clubhouse, he was just a glue guy. Yeah,
God.
All right.
If I actually wrote stuff, I could write a killer corner outfielders article right now.
The glue guys of corner outfielders?
Maben, Parra, Reddick. Who would the Cardinals be? Jose Martinez, I guess he went off.
Gardner.
Gardy.
I want to share that we have a lot of people that don't follow the Yankees. Gardner, you wouldn't know. You'd think he's a hard ass just by watching him on the field. He's the team prankster. And he, at one point, he, like, discontinued. I'm going to butcher this. He discontinued the beeper for someone's car. So, like, it wouldn't, like, lock and unlock when they went to their car. It just
That's didn't, a real prank.
It just didn't work. And when that player took their keypad thing to the dealership, they opened it up and inside was a picture of Brett Gardner or something like that. And, like, that's like a deep prank.
Yeah, that's like Ocean's 11 shit.
Yeah. All right, it's a good one. Nick Swisher back in the day says Jared Gott.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
No, I think I could put together, if you're one of our listeners and you're in college and you get a class where you, it's like a writing class and it's right on any topic, do it on eccentric corner outfielders or some shit like that. I will help you with data and information.
Cole Calhoun?
Cole World.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We will be back Friday morning. Jake may or may not be wearing a shirt. I may or may not still feel sick, but we will be here. See you then.